It is my joy to welcome to the pulpit this morning Khalil Osiris. Khalil was born and raised in Ohio, and you'll hear a little bit about his family from his own words. He pursued a life of crime and was in jail for 20 years. And it was there that he recognized what he calls the freedom that comes from within in Christ. Since being released, he has spent most of his time in South Africa working with Nelson Mandela's family. It's such an honor to have you today, Khalil. Thank you for your words. Thank you, Kate.
Good morning. I just want to say it's such a beautiful day. My grandmother, she used to say, if you are blessed to wake up in the morning and you don't have a spirit of joy, the reason is you. As I was preparing for today's message, I kept having thoughts of her and the lessons that I learned in my childhood. I reflected on how she was teaching me even when I was unaware of it. I remember that during the week, when something exciting would happen with me, I would always make time to go to my grandmother and tell her what it was. If I hit the winning shot in basketball, I was at my grandmother's door. She knew something special had happened, so she'd always make time, whether she was cooking or doing some other important chore. Or if something was wrong, particularly if my mother was upset about something, I'd also go to grandmama and say, you know, she's at it again. And she'd understand, and she'd intervene for me. And then around the end of the week, there would always be this notice. You know that shot that you hit that won the game in basketball for you and how excited you were? Don't you think you need to go to church and thank God for that? And I say, oh, yeah, you're right, Grandma, you're right. She said, or if it was the time when I was reporting about my mother and complaining, she would say, you know that problem that you have with your mother? Don't you think maybe it'd be great if you could just go to church and pray with Grandma and something could be healed in her? I said, you're so right. So as today, I was thinking about today's message, it occurred to me that it is my grandmother's wisdom that informs much of what I have come to believe about my relationship with God. And so I wanted to just summarize that in a way that could very easily be understood by you, though you didn't know her and you're just meeting me. The first thing I believe is that we all have a complete, unfettered access to God. And this access is underscored by the fact that we're in relationship with God. Secondly, I believe that the Bible offers us an amazing opportunity to have a deep, meaningful conversation with God. And third, I believe our relationship and our conversation with God enhances our efficacy and agency in the world, especially when it's undergirded by or informed by an understanding that we embody the mind and heart of Christ. Now, in the African-American church, there are some things we do that when a preacher wants to bring home a message, we have what's called a call and response tradition. And so I'd like to share it with you by having you repeat after me so that you can get a little bit of flavor of the African-American church tradition here. Repeat after me. I am the mind and heart of Christ. Now that we've got it, I'm going to say it one more time. I am the mind and heart,
of Christ.
That applies to each person in this church today. Whether you're a 3-year-old child or a 90-year-old elder, you embody the mind and heart of Christ. And as I think about that, it informs my understanding of the scriptural readings today. I'd like actually to focus on the epistle of James, because James has a really interesting history being the brother of Christ. You can imagine that being a younger brother, there's some things he got along the way, even though during Christ's walk, James was a doubter, like many young brothers are when they see their big brother. But he came to some realizations that are very important. And when he opens this, at this stage in the reading, he starts with three questions. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders and be prayed over and have the oil of the anointing. In other words, James is saying to us, there's something very powerful, fundamentally powerful and life-changing in prayer. It was much like my grandmother had taught me very early on. Whatever it was, she had an invitation to the church to put an exclamation mark on it. And then James goes on and he says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, this healing that he's pointing to is actually quite unique. It's nuanced. It's the healing that comes from reconciliation. The reconciliation that we experience when we've had deep differences, when we've been challenged by each other's views in a way that might cause us to be on opposite sides of the fence. James is telling us, confess those trespasses, pray for one another, and thus find a way to healing and reconciliation. Now, he goes on to point out an example of a person of great prayer life, and he uses Elijah. Those of us who know the story of Elijah, Elijah was an extraordinary man. In fact, he was one of the greatest prophets of Israel. So great was Elijah that he didn't die and go to heaven like most of us will have to do. In fact, all of us. Elijah ascended in a whirlwind that was accompanied by fiery chariots. Imagine that. Fiery chariots ascending to heaven. Elijah was a special man. But what he says is that Elijah was human like us. His nature was like ours. Now, in order to reconcile that in terms of how great Elijah was and how common we are, I think that James is basically saying that Elijah didn't pray because he was a great man. He became a great man because he prayed. And beyond that, James gets to the last paragraph in this important epistle, and he says, if any among you wanders from the truth, have someone, let someone in your midst call him back. And by the calling back of that one who has wandered from the truth, you will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. I am that one who wandered far from the truth, knowing the lessons of my grandmother. There was a point at which I could actually see, I could discern how far astray I had gone. And it was in my grandmother's wisdom, even in her physical absence, I recognized that I had gone astray. In fact, I remember when I was being sentenced, the judge looked at me and said, "Young man, my only regret is that I cannot give you more time." And this was a very white judge. You know, you hear about the inequality and social injustice, and it's very easy to juxtapose black and white and be on different sides and think this is unjust. And the judge looked at me. He even had white hair. I think he looked extra white because he had on a black robe. And he could not, he said, I just wish I could give you more time, because you could have been here as an attorney, you could have been here as a prosecutor, but you chose to be here today as a criminal defendant. And my lawyer was outraged, and people jumped up, and clearly you could hear the whispers of racism. And here's what I know. I wasn't going to prison because I had been in the Black Panther Party or made a mistake. I did not make a mistake. I made a choice. And that judge was absolutely correct. It was spiritual reckoning for me. It was a spiritual accountability. I tell you this because it is so easy for us to get locked into the normalized narratives of I'm a victim. Someone else is to blame. James calls us to a different path. He calls us to a path of accountability, of reconciliation. And as I reflected on the words of my grandmother and the wisdom that I could draw from her lessons, I recognized in that instance, in that moment, that I had agency, that I had efficacy, that I could choose not to be someone else's victim, that I not only could take my place, but look for others who might have strayed or wandered far from the truth and could be an example to them of what more is possible. And so I say to you today, look closely at your life. Ask those existential questions, those deep probing questions of yourself. Can you give more? Have you strayed? Have you wandered from the best that you are? And if you have, do as James teaches us. Reconcile yourself to Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen.